No, it was just like the fact that I'm like, am I going to repeat this set? This seems stupid.
Okay.
And so that's what stand-up is. You end up doing that. But I didn't know how to write. And then you're going to feel like you suck here and there. Like, you know, you're going to have those feelings and those moments. Yeah. And then whatever, it goes away.
Do you consider yourself at some point or at this point in your life like a hyperactive person?
No, not anymore.
Discipline stoners. What's your discipline? You a stoner? That's cool. So are we.
I'm high a lot. It's weird to finally say that with pride. I'm high a lot. Being high has helped me with my anxiety. It's helped my social skills.
Living from Anger Town. These plants just helped me chill out. Found focus. Found confidence. All of a sudden, I was productive. Less protective. More progressive. Yeah, we talk about stuff like I'm a next sommelier. But this is about a medicine, baby. We wish everyone a mindful life. It's been a helpful tool for us. Whatever the route to peace, it's each individual's journey. And the more we communicate, maybe we can all help each other out. Love and light. Welcome to Discipline Stoners Podcast with your host, Eleven.
And my name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
And welcome back to another episode of Discipline Stoners. I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And today, oh, bada
bing! Let me just get into it. Our next guest is a comedic genius. Stand-up comedian, actor, writer, and activist. She has won 2 Canadian Comedy Awards for her solo shows. She spearheaded a grassroots movement to have stand-up comedy recognized as an art form and founded the Canadian Association of Stand-Up that lobbies for comedians' rights. You can find her in her latest solo show, Baby G's and Other Abreeves. Please welcome Sandra Battaglini. Hey! What an intro.
That was nice.
You've been doing this for a second, huh?
Yeah, a couple seconds.
You're extremely too good at this.
What is? So
you really, okay, we'll get into it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I am like actually a huge fan. Having you here is a kind of a big deal.
We're very happy
on the podcast. But for those who don't know, let's start with your comedy history. When did you start stand-up comedy?
Okay, so in 1999, I enrolled at Second City to take improv classes because I was working at a branding firm, working with consultants. And the woman I worked for was talking about how Second City has these improv classes to help make you more business people more agile. And I had done a bit of theater in university, but I never had goal to be an actor. You know, I just always thought, like, when I was a kid, you know, watching Saturday Night Live with my mom, that, oh, I'm like, that would be fun to do.
Yes.
So we went to go see a Second City show, and I was like, I lost it. I couldn't believe it. And then I enrolled in November, and then after a year of, you know, the ABCD, whatever, that I don't know how they demarcate.
Yeah, you go through all the classes, all the courses, all the list.
Yeah, and then at the end of 2000, we did a show, and then the second I stepped on stage, I can still feel it. Like, I was like, oh, and then I took conservatory.
Yes.
And then I started to perform. Like, me and a couple of people from my class, we started a show. Called So You Want to Be a Comedy, because that's what my dad said to me when I was talking to him. Because I was telling him, like, oh, I'm doing, you know, I'm doing this comedy. He's like, So You Want to Be a Comedy? So we did this show, and it was like a variety night. That got really popular really quick. I still remember the first couple of shows.
So You Want to Be a Comedy. Where, that's so funny.
Where was it?
Shout out Dad.
Yeah.
Papa at the Oasis. It's not there anymore, but it's at College in Spadina.
Oh, and it I was thought a, you it, meant the sex club for a hot second.
No.
Oasis Echo Lounge. Do a comedy show there.
Yeah, no, it's the Oasis. I think it was almost right beside Free Times Cafe. So,
okay.
But it's long gone. I don't know what's there now. Maybe it's that It's that game.
Snakes and Lattes or something.
Yeah. So yeah, and it was a you know comedy venue for a long time and a music venue.
Okay. Did you give up your branding job right away, or is this all still?
No, not right away. Like I kept doing that job, and then I had auditioned for the touring company, the Second City Touring Company, and then they called me up, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And then they wanted to cast me for Tony and Tina's wedding.
I did that.
You did?
I'm Johnny, younger brother. No, in Vancouver.
Oh
yeah,
wow!
So good.
So I did that. I was the mother of the bride.
Oh my god!
Let's go.
Such an epic show to be a part of, because it's no longer right.
Did Nona collect the chicken bones?
No, we didn't. Not in our show.
Okay.
Was yours the Tony and Tina's, like, the trademarked one from New York?
Yeah. From Schenectady it started.
From where?
Schenectady.
What's that?
It's a place in New York State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I did that, and then I started doing, like, yeah. And then when I did that show, like, I mean, that takes up all your time.
Yeah.
And in the middle of doing that show, I think I was in the middle, like, while I was, you know, a cast member. I did my first solo show, and then...
So you're doing improv, basically. Tony and Tina's Wedding is like a loosely scripted event.
But yeah, exactly. But exactly, improv. Like, oh my God, we had so much fun. It was insane.
It's so, like, we fuck with people. Like, did you ever have people bring anyone who thought they were going to a real wedding?
I think so. Yeah. Some people did.
Those people were nuts. It was good.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just a crazy time, you know? And then I tried stand-up, like, in 2000 at one point, I think. Was it 2000? No, 2001, rather. I tried it a couple of times. And then the first time I did it was at the Laugh Resort. There was a club that was at King and Peter under the Holiday Inn. Nice. And that was a big club. Like, that was the other club, you know?
Oh, that's a good location.
Yeah, but it was a great location. But the people who managed it, like, they just, it was like, they didn't do the best job. Anyways, it shut down. But so I tried, the first time I did it, it was just kind of like, you know, whatever. And then the second time I did Yuck Yucks, and that was still like, I can still remember that show. You know, it was so good. And then I was like, I can't repeat these jokes. Right. So I didn't really keep doing it a lot. Like and plus it was hard for me to go and do shows because I was doing Tony and Tina's. And then I studied clown. So I'm also a clown.
Love.
And then when I finished Tony and Tina's, I think 2003, 2004, then that's when I started to get into stand-up, and I would do clown and work. Like I did a lot of like cabaret kind of stuff. Oh. And I had a sketch troupe at some point.
Yes.
The specials, like that was so amazing. And then
you guys were called the specials?
Yeah.
I love that. Specials. Yeah. That's the class I was in. They called us the specials.
Oh, yeah.
So to rewind just a bit, when you said you can't say these jokes again, was that like a mental block, or were the jokes so crazy that you like didn't want to say
them again? No, it was just like the fact that I'm like, am I going to repeat this set? This seems stupid.
Okay.
And so that's what stand-up is. You end up doing that. But I didn't know how to write. Like, it was just like a block. Yeah, it was a block of sorts. And then I took Dawn Whitwell's girl stand-up class. Cool. And she had, like, you know, a couple writing techniques that, I don't know, like, then all of a sudden I had a new set, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like, I didn't necessarily, like, one of her big techniques was, like, you just timed writing. You know, you just write. And I maybe do that sometimes, but it just got me, like...
The technique doesn't move the spirit with you. You got to feel the spirit first, and then it happens.
Yeah. So, but then it opened it up for me, you know? And,
Because I still have that a little bit. Like, I still have the repeating jokes. Like, at first, I really, really didn't like to repeat jokes. Like, I wanted a fresh set every single time, which is so stupid. Like, if you're trying to do stand-up comedy, that's not...
Because nobody...
You'll never
know.
Succeed. Because you need to do it over and over again.
You gotta work
you
on
know?
It. Yeah.
So I don't know, like, what is that? What is that in us? Do we feel like we're like frauds for doing? Like, what was that block for you? Well, like, do you think?
Really, I don't know. I just didn't like the idea. Like, it just didn't seem right. But I think it's just because you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's your innocence. You know, you think, oh, stand up is fucking whatever. But you know, there are things about it that you got to do.
Oh, yeah. And there, it feels like, I think for me too, when I watch really great stand-ups, it looks like they're saying it for the first time.
Yeah.
which is such a skill and part of what the art, I think, yeah. is. So you, yeah. I think as a new stand-up for me, I just wanted to like be better than what I didn't want to go through the sucking stage.
you end up sucking no matter what, like, you know, you're gonna be in it for a, you know, a period of time, and then you're gonna feel like you suck here and there. Like, you know, you're gonna have those feelings and those moments yeah. where you're gonna be like, am I funny? Like, I had this maybe yeah. a month and a half ago. It was one weekend where I just wasn't in
yeah.
it. And then whatever, it goes away.
Yeah. You
know, but
well, that's nice to hear that just a month and a half ago, someone who yeah. I find very funny every single time I see you felt like that. That's good to know.
You know what's it a still good thing? Happens. You know what's a good thing? Talking to you, it's like you realize that someone very gifted like yourself, I always, I'm like, okay, cool, like maybe you're just born with it. It's like, no. You are well trained. Of course you're born with it. There's something very funny. You can tell that you're like supposed to be on stage. You can make anything good and like enjoyable and run with it. But like you put in time.
You gotta put in the time.
Disciplined.
Yeah.
Disciplined yeah. stoner. And that's really good. That's good for everyone yeah. through that sucking stage. Because you had the courage and the know-how to seek guidance and training. And you gotta like, you can't exist with the ego like that. So that's like, really good to hear that you're this funny and it's not just a fluke, really, honestly. Because, like, you're very, very good at it. Like, it is, like, oh, good. You. I'm glad you're well-trained.
Like, when I studied clown, like, I think it was 2003, that's what, like, the one big thing I was left with is, like, oh, I got to crack stand-up. Yeah. Because clown is all about, well, the clown that I studied anyways, it's, like, all about, you know, following your impulse. And there's so many things about clown, but, like, it's like you follow your impulse and like you keep go. You know, it's like this wild abandonment that you're meant to, you know, follow and reach. And that's where, I don't know. It's like, I guess, a nirvana or whatever that you
it's can genius.
Experience.
It's flow state. You yeah, like yeah. fall into it. It's God yeah. or whatever you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you're like being informed by something bigger than you by falling into it.
Yeah.
Do you have hard separations between like who you are, Sandra is as a person, and like the different art forms that you do, like clowning? Like, is there like, do you find that your essence is within a clown character, or do you step into something that's like more curated?
It all comes from within. You know, like, I mean, yeah. I guess there is, there's definitely something that flips when I, you know, I could just be sitting before a show and not knowing, like, I don't know where this is going to go, you know? And then the minute, you know, I get on stage, it's like, yeah, I get into this zone, you know, and sometimes people think like, oh, that's how you are all the time. And like, yeah, at some point, maybe that was me, like a long time ago, like I was like, I had to entertain people. I had to be this person
yes.
or I was that person, you know? But you know, that shifts, right? Like you change and you shift and but yeah, I don't know. Like I feel like when I go do stand up, it's like, I don't know. I mean, it is just a state where you go and you connect and I don't know. It's hard to explain.
No, I'm really I'm resonating with this for the first time because like I absolutely suck at crowd work. And I thought when I started stand up like 2 years ago now that I would be really good at it. I thought I was going to be good at it. And I'm really, really bad at it still. And it's because I'm not connecting. It's because I've created a set and I know my punchlines and everything is very like, here it is, here it is, here it is. And if I miss one of those, even now, I just like beat myself up for it pretty hard, but it actually what I've created really takes me away from being present with the audience, and that feels like my next sort of hurdle.
Because it negates you from doing things. Like, I don't know if you got to your material, but at Puff Mama's show, the fact that you couldn't find glasses and reading the book, that was funny. Like that became
it was so fucking funny.
Like your struggle, something that someone could internally destroy them. You like shared it, and everyone got on board with you, and that was magic. Because we were high together.
We were high, so it's like, but you know, clown really helped me with that. But also, like, I don't, even though I think from day one people thought that like I was maybe improvising or loose, you know, on stage. It was only when I started to host. I remember one weekend, Yucks hired me to, like, I did a Mississauga club. It was like six shows. So after that weekend, I knew I could host.
Yeah.
And that's the, I always say that to people, like to comics, it's like just, I mean, you know, Canada is what it is, but host your own show and then you'll get good at crowd work.
Yeah.
Because okay. You know?
That honestly is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. That makes sense.
Start your own show.
Yeah.
And then you'll get good at crowd work. And, you know, crowd work is like, you know, there's people who are purists, I guess, in the sense that just want to deliver their jokes and they don't want to talk to the audience. But it doesn't matter whether you talk to them like, hi, how are you? But you're still talking to them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you're still in a conversation. Like that's, no matter what, whatever form of art it is, you're still talking to the.
Yeah. They're responding. Yeah. Their energy is responding. Yeah. And you have to adapt to that. And if you can't, then that's going to.
But it's the most immediate art form there is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so stand good.
Up. It's pretty wild.
It's really, really is. It's really
wild. Is there tips for sustaining it? I'm just turning this into like my, I'm like, this is a really great opportunity for me.
I mean, you always just want to, like, I guess it's more about you. Like, what, you keeping yourself like clear and open and, you know.
Do you have tools to do that? Those things?
Oh yeah. Like, sure. I've got a posse of healers and like I practice yoga and meditation and I mean it was just when I started to do it I was like okay you know
yeah so you're good you're tuned in that's exactly it that's
I wasn't doing I wasn't meditating when I first started comedy but I was exercising so that was my meditation but yes. then like you know I think in 2000 and I don't know 7 I started doing yoga. Even before that, like maybe 2005, I can't remember.
That's early. Yoga was not trending at that time.
Oh, yeah. No, my chiropractor was a yoga teacher, and she was teaching in the building across the street from me, where I lived. So I was like, and I was told, like, do yoga, stretch. And then when I started doing those classes, I was like, okay. Because, I'm naturally, I guess, how I was wired in the beginning was like, I'm over there, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. And that's sort of where I was. But it's like, okay, you got to, you know, you got to take it easy.
Similar like that. Take it easy. She found yoga and she totally like married it to the point where then she moved away to LA to like become a yoga instructor.
Yeah.
And then she ran a yoga studio here, a couple of them. And then it's always been close by for me to be able to go. So it's like I feel you on that, like grounding yourself more. But the meditation, that is so much part of like what we talk about here. And it's like sitting in stillness, giving yourself that discipline to like remember kind of like what's going on here. You know, like it's a simulation. That's so important.
And it's like it's older than us, you know, like almost.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's absolutely. Prayer. Well, you know, it's prayer. It's practice. Practicing your faith.
Yeah.
You know, giving it up to... You know, the creation.
So when you found that in 2007-ish, you said?
No, maybe it was earlier. But then I started working with this healer like in 2008, I guess, 9. And then that really like, you know, opened it up more, you know?
What prompted you to work with a healer?
Because I had met one of her best friends. And so this friend of mine was like, my friend who's a healer wants to see you. And I was like, no. And then when I did, I was like, oh, I just felt relief. It's like some kind of real relief in my life that I was like, oh, okay.
You know? Love that.
So then I was like, okay, what's... And then it was, you know, and I just talked to her this afternoon. She's one of, actually a really good friend. And her husband now, she's with someone who does the same thing, you know, and it's like amazing. Like two of them.
They're healers together.
It's amazing.
They're a band of healers.
Yes, they really are.
I love that.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself at some point or at this point in your life, like a hyperactive person?
No, not anymore.
Okay. Was that a transition with like finding meditation and then those healing practices? Yeah.
I think I still am hyper, you know, and I think I still have it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that I am. I don't know. Maybe some people might describe it that way, but I can see myself be like that sometimes when I'm like when I was driving here, right? I was like, my mind was like, oh. And I was starting to, and then I'm like, no, just chill out.
Yeah.
Like, there's so, it's such madness to go on the street.
Yeah.
On the
road. I know.
You know, I drove to my mom, which is, she's in, like, in Woodbridge, and then we go to Jane and Finch 20 minutes, and I go back to bring her. And then, you know, then my sister, my mom gets on the phone with my sister in Italy, and blah, blah, blah. And I could have left 10 minutes early. I could have, for real. I should have. But it was just like, we just got there. You know what I mean?
I feel you. Yeah, no, you got to follow the vibe. You follow the heart, you follow the vibe.
And then I was like, maybe I should have, you know, done the 4 o'clock, and then after this, go to Woodbridge, whatever.
It all worked out beautiful.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This is actually nice.
Where's your sister?
She's in Italy right now. She went on vacation.
Okay, so this is so nice. I grew up in Italian culture. I'm a half breed, but my parents remarried into full Italians.
Oh, so you're like Italian too?
Yeah. And a Canadian half breed, but like I grew up within two different Italian families as well, and like that was the culture I identified with. And the way you abbreviate things, it's so good. Like I understand.
It's from my dad.
Oh my god! But it's so real. Like across all Italian communities, like it's something that happens, and you bring it to light in such a beautiful way. I've never heard someone culturally brand Italians like so comedically and brilliantly. Like you see it in like, you know, like kind of like the mobster or whatever, like it's like aggressive, but like you've made it so fun so endearing and so authentic and beautiful. You can tell
and
it
words,
comes from a real
place. It's so
place.
Fun when it's words that aren't currently abbreviated in like social standards.
Yeah.
And you do it.
This so is really good. Nice, by the way.
When
it
did this
didn't
happen?
Bring me down. It lifted me up.
Yes.
I was nervous first. I was like, don't do it, Xander, but it like lifted me up.
Shout out the drip.
You
Josh
did it.
Is on just before you, the guy who created this.
This is yeah.
I think the joint that I had Saturday, like I had yesterday, was from a show I did, and I think it was just a bit of a lower. Whatever. Yeah. Who cares? Just
yeah, no, I mean, but there is there's a difference between
the burn
like,
and the quality.
Yeah, the quality. Oh, yeah. There's lots of different qualities of weed out there.
Oh yeah,
we're lucky and, we had him on the talk. So
it makes a difference.
He brought us stuff that's supposed to impress us, so it did. And okay. Love. When did that start? You like? Did you always like? Okay, so you come from an improv background. So do we. So much in common. Beautiful. Able to flow with it. You learn. You train. You know the formats. But now you have this like incredible identity. As like a role player, I said it when I'm so excited about this episode too, because I also like it's like we're documenting all the beautiful shiny Pokemon around this time period in this location, and it's like you just have zoned in on this beautiful character. When did that happen? When did that whole abbreviation really have you always leaned into the Italian thing, or did you have a breakthrough during your journey in stand-up?
No, like my second set, okay. Yuck Yucks, and I was saying was like the first set I did. I told this story. It was a story that I. That I had with a friend where I like we go I think it was that story that I like I go meet up with a friend from Sudbury, that's where I'm from originally, right? And I meet up with her, and then I'm working in the business world, because like I came to Toronto after university to study marketing. I was doing a marketing diploma.
Look at you.
So you understand marketing too. That's another thing about successful artists. Got to understand marketing.
But a lot of my jokes are about advertising too, which comes from that.
Amazing.
Right? So I took this marketing diploma, whatever, because it's like, I did my master's in history, and then I wanted to do a PhD, but it was like, all my supervisors were like, oh, there's no jobs right now, you know? And then, a friend of mine had gone to Humber, did one of these courses, she got a job.
You were chasing with school, as a job?
No, not, a, I mean, I... I like when I studied history and I did my master's, I was like, that was like what the first time, like the second time was finding comedy, but that time where I was like, oh my god,
this
like
is it.
I can't believe what I'm finding out here. I'm a researcher. I'm a researcher. It's like in my birth sign, like you know, you take these fucking courses.
Yeah, I've done those. Yeah.
And I'm a detective, whatever.
I'm the protagonist.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. So, anyways, I don't even know what we were. Oh, the persona.
The
you found the character pretty early.
So the first set I did, I go meet this friend of mine, Jessica Ning. We go out. I'm working in the business world. I'm wearing business clothes and these fucking shoes. They're supposed to be Gucci knockoffs. And they're killing my feet. And then I realize, like, while I'm walking down Bay Street, all these men are walking ahead of me. I'm like, oh, like, these shoes are not, like, that's why women are walking behind men, because these shoes are no good.
Oh, my God. That's a great concept.
Okay.
That's...
And then I'm like, why am I wearing these fucking shoes?
Yeah.
And then I go to, and then I meet her at, I can't remember what restaurant it was.
Oh my
and
God.
As I go downstairs to the bathroom, my heel comes off and I slide down. Oh, and now my shoes are like Peter Pan.
Oh.
So that's the story I tell. But, you know, I didn't know how to tell. I didn't know how to tell the story, like, right? And then the second set I did at Yuck Yucks, I talk funny. About my dad. And I actually told this joke the other night that I hadn't told. Because you maybe one of the words, like, you can't really say it anymore. But basically it was a joke about... we were watching Wizard of Oz this one time, because this is what we would do at Christmas, and my dad wakes up from a nap and he looks at the TV and it's like the scene with the lollipop people.
Yeah,
you know, like, we represent the Lollipop Guild. And my dad looks at the TV and he goes like you know those Midge, right? It's a breathing.
Midge?
He's like, they are, yeah, Midge. Midgets.
Oh, I'm surprised I was faster on that one than you, 11.
That's so good.
Midge.
Oh, man, that's so good. Because so it good. Also plays into it being an acronym, the fact that it's shorter.
Yeah.
Did you Midge. Think that was funny?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Are
of
you?
Course.
At the time, like, hearing that? Okay.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
See, okay, dope.
100%. Like, Midge. And then he says, you know those Midge, they all come from Halifax. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, they got lots of coal mines, so they need lots of short people.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what state of...
He woke up and with this information on hand.
Yeah.
Bless.
Yeah, so I told that story, and of course, I was like, people are laughing, and I'm like, oh my God, what, you know... And then that talking about my dad was like the way into comedy.
Oh.
Holy shit, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. So you have like a rooted character. Wow, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And then you just quote him, and then you just take that language for a rip.
And it's not everything. Like, I think, you know, like, I talk about him, I don't talk about them, you know, like, it's... Whatever.
No, but like through that lens of perspective of like quoting your dad, you almost like kind of birth this new vocabulary style. It's like your own Ebonics. It's like a telephonics.
But it's his.
It's
his. Exactly. Exactly.
It's a telephonics. I mean, you hear this from, you know, wife beater, khakis rolled up, you know, like out on his lawn and like... You know, and just making words up.
Gold bracelet. Yeah.
Gold bracelet. Chest hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know
that's
this
not,
guy.
That's not my dad, but like...
No, but he talks like this guy, this character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, 100%,
in every
100%.
City, there's one of these guys.
Yeah, so, yeah.
What's your dad's name?
Attilio.
Attilio?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Attilio. Uh-huh. Thank you. Gratitude.
So since you are a multidisciplinary artist, you clown, you stand up, you're an actor, you know, you're a writer as well. If you could only do one of those things for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
I don't think so. I don't think I can answer that.
Yeah, that's okay if you can't.
Forever creating.
If that's the answer, because I agree, it's tricky to put all your eggs.
Like unless there's a ban on different styles of performance, like I couldn't see myself. Like the truth. Okay, so when I started doing clown, right, the same time, I mean, I'm performing, I'm doing all this stuff, and I did a lot of clown around town. You know?
A lot of clown around town. And, you have a clown around town?
And in other places, like, I even took, like, this clown solo show to Chicago. I think I did a clown show once or twice in the States.
Oh, wow.
And, but then I got to the point where I was like, I'm not fucking dragging a costume across town and fucking props for no money.
Yeah.
No.
And the circus that I was, there's a venue, it's still there, but there was a venue at Girard and Greenwood, that was, it's like one of Toronto's oldest.
Spandy train there.
Oh, yes.
And it's the lady who owns the Redwood, I think, used to do stuff there.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we know exactly.
There's
what
a
you're
clown school.
About.
Yeah, right there on Girard. And we're
you know the lady who owns it now? Is that what you mean?
She owns the Redwood now.
Yeah, Maria.
Yeah, Maria.
So I know, yeah, of course. Like her husband was, or they had ownership in the theater before with the previous owners, but this scene was so wild. Like the, oh, so.
We went to one of the shows. My buddy Spandy Andy graduated from one of their things, and they had one of their like spectacular bazaars or something.
It was a fucking trip.
It was a fucking trip.
Was it like
you don't know what you're doing?
Center of gravity? Was it the center of gravity, or is it like how long ago was it?
Like 10 years.
Oh yeah, so it was there. So like I started doing stuff there, I guess in 2004. It was maybe 2008 that I kind of stopped doing stuff there, but it was like. It was like a political clown cabaret. Like you're watching people, you know, juggle chainsaws, right? And blow fire and like, and we were doing really, we were doing satire. We were doing Buffon clown. I don't know if you know the difference, but Buffon is like, is the anti-clown. You know, the clown is meant to show the, to like to be a mirror to the world, and the Buffon shows the world their hypocrisy.
Oh, so, that's nice that there are two different clowns. I love that.
And you can put like, can what?
What would that look like? Like, can like, okay, what would a play be from a Buffon?
Okay, so, but first I'll say that like Sacha Baron Cohen is a Buffon. Like,
okay.
So one of the big masters in the world is Philippe Goliath from France.
Wow.
And he, and the style that I learned was Philippe Goliath through a teacher here, Adam Lazarus, just not a teacher, my God, it's like, he's such an incredible artist. And then with him, like we would do, like he would direct us and then we would do stuff together.
Oh man,
oh, so
one of the things we did, we do these like Christmas pageants. We'd retell the story of the Bible.
Oh my God.
And so the Buffon in the pseudo history is the Buffon was the outcast, the leper, the cripple, you know? And they would be relegated to the swamp, and then when the king wanted to be entertained, he'd call them all in. And you know, they would, you know, in their grotesqueness, you know, they would go to the king and they'd look at him and say like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. But underneath they'd be like, you fucking piece of fucking, you cocksuck, like whatever the fuck you're gonna say. And then these are exercises that we would do in class, okay? Like we would do this thing where we're like, you know, modeling for the king, like talking to the king, and it's like this.
But deep down, you hate him.
Of course, because like he's a fucking king.
Yeah.
And the goal of Buffon is that you're meant to go, like you show the world their hypocrisy, and that you're supposed to make, it's satire, right? So the mayor, let's say, like you're making, everyone's laughing because you're making fun of the mayor, okay? Yeah. Like, right? And then the mayor's like laughing and oh my God, but then when he goes home, he realizes that everyone's laughing about him.
And it was true.
And he kills himself.
Oh yeah, he's evil.
And that
evil.
I think is where, that's where To Kill comes from.
Oh.
Right? Because if you kill...
Oh, fuck. Oh, that's shit. What you're,
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. That's funny.
Cool. Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
So I had a character that was... I came out, I had like a... So fucked up. Like pubic hair outside of my pants, and like I'd have a toilet brush, and I'd go up to people in the audience and be like, do you want to brush my pussy? And I was just like, you know, wild, like kind of a demon, I guess, you know?
Okay. And that's a Buffon.
But people like, yeah, but then there's like.
They're dark clowns.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you ever watch Jason Rouse perform? Mm. I'm not sure that he knows he's Buffon, but he's a Buffon. Like, that's. So it's like there's actors and you know, people, like the clown then is like I said, the mirror, you know? So the clown comes with the nose and even though, you know, they're revealing a truth too, like it's in the, it's more like you're like, oh, like yeah, there's something in the heart that like, the first time I saw clown, I was like, oh, like my throat just went like this thing in the back of my throat, and I'm like, I have to study this. And that's why I did it, because I was, you know, getting into comedy, I'm watching people, I'm going to shows, I'm watching this clown, and I was like, this is insane.
You had a profound clown moment.
Yeah, and that's it.
There's something eerie about clowns. They kind of scare me.
Yeah.
Clowns kind of scare me sometimes, just because...
They can be scary, because they're...
The happiness freaks me out. The overtly, and I'm like, oh, creepy.
Like I would like, but that's like, that's not really clown. Like that's some undiagnosed.
That's something
trauma.
Else. But so yeah, you've seen like the. It sounds like you've seen the actual art of clowning.
Yeah, I don't know if like, I've actually seen what that. You've seen. Yeah.
Well, at the place, it was. They took it pretty seriously. Well, it was pretty amazing. It felt like a circus or something. It was.
Yeah,
wild.
I think it was just like overwhelming me because I was a scared little city girl for the first time, and I was like, "This is."
Well, what happened in that show? Do you remember the theme?
I don't remember the theme, but I remember the stage being like so stimulating.
A lot of performers moving like and just like doing like ball stuff and ring stuff and crawling stuff and getting in the audience and like big bright costuming, and it was like, it was trippy. Like, basically, I felt like I was on acid, and like the lights turning, yeah, it was fucking cool. Like, it was trippy. And my buddy Spandy was like graduating from it or something. Like, this was his showcase or something, or I don't know. There was something like that. Did he have a part?
And it does feel like outcasts.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, there's an energy of that is just like, we know that we don't belong anywhere else, like, but that, right here.
Yeah,
I like, you know, that. And that's like a that's pretty powerful.
That's stand-ups too.
Exactly,
it's comedians. That's
we're the outcasts that find our way together by being the outcast who has enough balls to get up and talk in front of everyone.
Because lots of that's what comedy, like stand-up. Okay, you go and you're like, you're not a character. You're not, you don't. I mean, you can be. There's people who put characters on in stand-up, but you are putting, like, not always, it depends what you're trying to, what the joke is, but you can go between clown and buffon. Like, my favorite comedians are clowns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I always say there's people that are naturally funny, and then there's people who can tell jokes.
Hey, yes.
And they can both be successful.
I think I'm that other one.
People who can tell jokes. Yeah, Winnie tells nice.
I think I might fall in that category. I'm okay with it.
But you tell your shit out of your joke, babe.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, you're creating a persona, too. So it's like, you know, I think that you're still creating a persona.
Yeah, I'm baby stages still.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Like, that's, who knows where that's going to go.
Haven't fallen into anything yet. Yeah, I agree. I'm open. You know?
What a wonderful.
No, I mean, I think just you. I mean, I don't know if I saw you before, but when I saw you that night, I was like, you know, you definitely have, like, a persona.
Yeah.
And so the more that you start to accept her,
yeah,
and just like accept yeah, what this is,
what's developing,
then you can play with it,
yeah,
you know, and you get to have more fun with it too, and like, because you got to just show them who you are and not be afraid of it,
yeah.
Woo!
I know that's
bars. This is. God's talking to you through Sam. Totally. This is an amazing moment.
Well,
this
I said it recently that I'm in that phase where, as a comedian, I think a lot of comedians probably go through it, but like, I can't stop talking about my vagina.
I'm still talking about my vagina.
Yeah. Like, if you knew me prior to trying stand up, like, that's
people
not what
are
I
shocked.
I'm pretty closed book.
Yeah, you're not,
you know, I'm a little bit conservative on that regard.
But it's
like, I don't think I was blabbing about my vagina before I became a comedian, but like, I was definitely me and my friends, like, you know, I don't know. I had a group of friends that were like, I guess we laughed and joked about this stuff. It wasn't oh my God, don't talk about your vagina. And my mother's both my parents, like, are literal clowns. Like, these are the funniest people. Do you understand what I was saying to you? My father thinks they were criminals. Like, do you understand this? Like, what, like, I'm, and then my mother, like, my mother's reacting like he's telling the truth. And I'm like, Ma, like, just go with him. Like, I know sometimes you get frustrated because he keeps telling us to leave. And it's like, but I'm saying, like, these people, right? These people are like.
So funny.
Yeah.
That makes
so
sense.
Your vagina. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. My mother was open about talking about stuff, too. But
that's good.
So, yeah, like, that's it about, you know, this
but
is
it's very
this
liberating.
Yeah.
Like, it feels good.
Yeah.
When I do it, especially if it makes people laugh.
But I think people
even
are just
being up there
shocked.
And being like, whoa, I am talking about things that I never thought I would talk to, like, my closest friends about. Like, I wasn't like that with my closest friends, you know?
But somehow you're doing this.
And somehow I'm doing this now.
You know? Like, why are you talking about your vagina? Like, is it, like, you're completely, because these are thoughts that you've had where you're like, this is fucked up, and I, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so isn't that wonderful?
And I've started actually talking to my friends more now about vagina-related issues.
Yes.
Yeah, like, now I feel like it's too much. Like, we're at another level of, like, talking about our shit.
Everything.
But when you look in the past, too, when people would go through things and they think they're the only... I mean, people still think that they're the only person going through what they're going through, but
no.
That you can talk to people about whatever weirdness,
I know. We're in a great time.
Yeah, it's all in the human
experience.
I mean,
it's so gross at the same time. It's
so appealing. Well, polarity is real, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think that, like... Yeah, I still think we're in a pretty cool time. When I think about, like, the tools my mom had to heal and the tools that I have to heal, like, they are vastly different.
Yeah,
and it is just
one
generation apart.
Yeah.
That's true.
But, you know, it was like, it's like, but the tools that the ancestors had and the soul had.
Yes.
The soul.
Right? That lost that lost its way, or that was like traveling through time.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know, like these ancient, there's this really great video about 2012. Remember when 2012 was supposed to be the end?
Yeah. Yes. It was the end of that conscious time, and it was into the next.
Yeah, it's like, well, now they're saying it's 2020, but the end of Pisces. Now
Pisces, Aquarius. Aries.
Or Aries. Yeah, Aquarius. Yeah.
Aquarius, yeah.
Which is an air sign, Aquarius, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so that's like kind of, over the past couple of years, there's been a lot of shedding and drastic change and like recalibrating and harsh decisions being made and with potential polarizing consequences. But it's kind of like a nice little massage. If you think about consciousness like a dog and we're just like manifestations on it, it's going, make choices. And it's like,
I don't know. Awakening cells in the body that forgot because they've been like, you know, whatever the mechanisms are to control people, these whoever these people are that are trying to control. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like you see it in a dementia person's brain. The brain starts to shrink, and it's kind of like you make corners in your head. You right when you ever have an argument with yourself, and you're like, and you're like, oh my God, I've literally shrunk my brain.
Yeah.
You know, so like you got to bust, you got to poke the...
Change
like,
the cycle.
And break through that story. Even though the story... Like, I'm riding my bike last night. Oh, boy, some of the stories were coming back.
And you tell yourself and...
Oh, like, But what's so good is just seeing it and just being like, okay, look at the story.
Objective. Observer. So you become the observer. So, like, when you're meditating, you realize, oh, this... I laugh at myself, too. I'm like, my ego identity would love that outcome. Like, it just, like, commented on it from that distance away.
Like last week or 2 weeks ago, I was high, and I was having like, oh my God, talking to God, and it's so whatever, and then having this fucking ego, this argument, and then I literally introduced myself, like I emceed my own argument. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Sandra Battaglini. Because I was like, if I'm going through all this, right, like God, whatever, and then like, blah, 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 and I was like, okay, let's see what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean?
And then
curious.
You see it.
That's like inner child work, too. Yeah. Instead of always being like, that's not a helpful thought. You shouldn't be jealous. You shouldn't be competitive. Shut the fuck up and smack them. Like, and we just tell our little, like, just like creative thought that's trying to express itself that it's wrong. And we push it down instead of just like you said, let's hear you out. Okay, that's neat. If that's the case, and the reality that you focus on more will gain momentum for traction of actually manifesting. And that's what we really got to watch our thoughts. They're all just options. They're timeline options.
Yeah, so
you
nice.
See people that
timeline
go.
Timeline options, I like that.
You know, and they go into, oh, I believe, meaning that perspective that you become aware of, I'm affirming, I'm making this my belief and affirmation by continuing to think this thought. I believe there is a sickness. I believe there is a rule, a containment, a confinement, a misunderstanding of me and misperception of self really hurts because you want to be truth and that's freedom and that's you in full expression. But what we don't realize, we sabotage because we look at the thing that we think we're scared of, we're supposed to fight. So we end up drawing that in closer.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like those thoughts, it's like you hear all of them out, but it's like I try to land on a better one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, it's like I can sense the vibration of that one. That little poor ego boy was going down. Like that vibration is going to lead to defeat. I got to choose another story. Like in that, it's hard to choose another story.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you don't want to like then are you going to become beholden to that other story more like, you know, like
it's another trap
being like, you know, I heard this. I don't know if this is this makes sense to say this now, but like, you know, it's like, OK, yeah, are you saying like, OK, I'm going to drop that old story that's low. I'm going to take this new story on. It's still like an element of the ego. Right. But like, it's just how much are you attached to that story, you know? And like,
because it's going to happen, though. That's just what I'm saying. Like a manifestation, unexperienced, like you're alive. Like it's ticking. It's moving forward.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
are on a linear timeline in this flesh.
Yeah.
We're spirit. We're infinite. But in the human experience we're having, you know, we got a solid hundo. We got a nice hundo years to play around if you're lucky.
Yeah.
All right. So that's moving. Yeah. So things are going to happen.
Yeah.
So you choose.
Exactly.
Red or blue.
So like, when you're having like that conversation that you said you had with yourself where you're like, okay, I have two expressions inside of me that are having like differing opinions right now. Let's hear them both out. When you hear them both out, do you, after that, like, stay middle ground and you're like, none of this is actually very important? Or do you take a side, or does that vary?
No, I just want to, like, I just really just try and, like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like maybe alchemicalize, or like just let that, like, because the argument is stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid most.
And it keeps other people, you keep other people in judgment because you're having some argument in your head about some stupidity.
Yeah.
And like, you know, yeah.
So do you find that you're at a place in your own like self-practice where you can... Are you more the observer more of the time, or are you still reacting to life
like
as it's coming
at
you? Half
and half.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's fucking huge.
Life is tricky. Yeah. Because, and when you're taking life personally, man, it's hard not to.
Oh, my God. It's hard not to.
Half is crazy solid. I'm real proud of myself that I'm like maybe 30. I'm like, that's solid. That's like one third. If you can get the half, that's killer.
Yeah, I used to be the other, I think I was maybe the whole other way.
Yeah.
Although as a child though, like I used to pray, and I would say these prayers, and I would talk to God, you know, and yeah, I think like I remember, and then I stopped because I was like, this is, I don't know.
You stopped believing or something.
The constructs of religion? Because religion left a bad taste in my mouth in high school.
Oh yeah, like I was brought up in a Roman Catholic church, even though we had a really progressive priest. Like he was probably one of the most progressive priests.
So did you, right?
Yeah, me too. I had the same experience. Yeah.
He got kicked out.
Fuck.
Yeah, but
my guy died.
He was too progressive.
Same thing. Yeah. One guy died. He's like, I'm no longer a Roman Catholic priest. But then I just found out my history, right? Then I'm like finding out more and more about this church, and I was like, I don't. Yeah. Even though, like now though, you know, there's like so many people, there's a lot of people in the church that are actually doing good work.
Yeah.
You know, and they do believe, like,
community.
You know,
work.
So I don't know, you know.
It brings people together. I mean, it's still a congregation, you know? It's like a community congregation. It has its function for sure. It doesn't it doesn't ever have to not be, but it doesn't have to be like the leading thing. And like, there is, I think it was in a stand up special, they're like, if you think Christianity or Catholicism hasn't won, what year is it?
Has
like
it won? Yeah, I
AD,
know.
Right? Like, it's like after, you know, so it's like it kind of our whole fucking whoa. Because even on the, in the Persian calendar, it's a different year. Like the year, like our society.
There's just no way it can be 2000s. This earth has been around forever.
I know. It's all sorts of silliness. Like
people say it's been around for millions of years.
Like, and this conscious evolution of humans has been like, what, approximately like 13,000 years? That's what they said.
I don't know.
I don't know. But then, yeah, billions of years this fucking rock has been here. Like,
all these people going on.
I mean, I think that we can all agree that time has made up to help us, like, stay organized, basically. That's what time's function is, right? Like, if we didn't have time, how would we do anything?
When would we meet
When
here?
Would we meet?
Well, there's just always time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So people marked it in different ways, and then systems got more efficient. And then, you know, started to really organize. So, yeah, whatever time these people... Yeah, we know how many hours that are light.
There's lighter
and how
dark.
Many when it's dark.
Yes.
And how that switches. And we know, like, okay, well, we can get these motherfuckers to do X, Y, and Z for this many hours of the day. You know, and we can... And so those people then took time and organized it, you know, basically to serve the devil.
Kind of, yeah. Well, they've definitely turned it into I agree. They've turned it into a system that only benefits the central power, and it drains the branches.
Well, they're so sick, like they're literally so like sick that the only way they can stay alive is through our energy.
That's right.
So
don't even get into the fear porn.
So the minute you don't acknowledge like this power, they'll drop. Yeah. This is what I was gonna say. So I listened. I follow this guy. He's a yogi, and he said, so he was talking about like this time that we're in. This is end of days. You know.
Yeah.
He has like a thing in Costa Rica.
Or like a retreat.
Yeah.
A plant medicine maybe. No.
I don't know if he does plant medicine. Like
we do.
I just see. He just does like these talks, but it's yoga. I get. I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. But
it all
he has
is
these
under
lectures.
An umbrella.
Yeah. Yeah, and he said that. So once we drop the ego, and recognize that this is perfect, like God is perfection.
Yes.
Then the old world will collapse, and the new world will come. Because he said it was only in the...
Realize it's perfect. Yeah. Realize now is perfect. You're perfect.
So and then I feel like we're just like too far away from that. Like if people are watching news like 5 or more days a week, like there's no
but
way
why
that
is
they
the
can
news programming
go.
People to think it's anything but perfect, you know? Like that's talk about, you know, what's that with the fear porn and shit? Like we're going to have to accept that where you're getting information from is not to be trusted, and you have to live more intuitively, I guess. Like that's a hard fucking shift. Like for us to do collectively, like, are you serious? They're on a track. They're in control. They're like,
because that means everything that you experience in life, whether you perceive it good or bad, like that means that like it's perfect, and that's I think hard to swallow for people, right? Yeah. Like
I have to take these off for a sec.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk about your push for creating stand-up comedy yes. as an art form.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I want to know why you did that. I want to know when that happened.
How's it going?
How the process it was. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I wrote a letter to the prime minister when I liked him.
Yeah. I'm with you.
R.I.P. their relationship.
Anyways. It took me, like, you know, because my background's history, it took me some real time to research it. So basically it was like, you know, I'd been doing comedy for like, I guess almost 15 years, 14 years-ish.
Decade and a half.
And I'm just seeing like what's going on. Like everywhere I look, I'm like, okay, something stinks here. Something's really wrong. Everyone's going to the States. There's all these situations. We don't get recognized. We can't have, like, get grants. We're living in this like stand-up club system that's so fucked up.
There's no star system.
No. And it's like, it's mostly, it almost has everything to do with the fact that we're beside the United States and they're an empire. And they basically stole our culture. We gave, like, well, I wouldn't say we gave it away because there have been people.
We were happy to be recognized.
What do you mean?
That's why we provide down south with such juice, is because we're just happy to be seen.
Yeah,
it's very
yeah.
Canadian to
and
be
like creative
like,
career.
Compliment a Canadian? Oh no, I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Compliment an American? I know. I've worked very hard for this.
I know.
That's why I feel very American.
Like I'm just gonna say this now. I know this is a public forum, but
yeah.
But you're free and open here.
I love this.
But you know, there was at this year's Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. There's a Comedian of the Year award, and it was given to Bert Kreischer.
Okay,
you know
an American guy.
Yeah, and then it made me think. I'm like, I wonder if there's ever been a Canadian comedian living and working here that's ever gotten that award. So the person who posted said,
no Bert,
like everyone apparently cried when they watched this speech because he was talking about how he was happy that he didn't get famous when he started comedy because, you know, in his 40s he got well known and he's like very well respected and of course amazing and deserving of an award. That's without thing. But then this person turns around and says, and Canadian comedians, like, don't worry about the fact that you didn't get chosen, and but you just got to put your head down and work hard. And it was like, what?
So patronizing.
Kind of belittling fucking garbage. And I know this is like people getting like I want to call the president. Like I know the president of Just for Laughs. So. Yeah,
that
because
there
is, was a whole.
Yeah, that's a shitty
what?
Thing to add. Like you could have walked away really good.
I could literally read it right now.
Fuck.
If you want to, whatever.
I don't know. Maybe it's crazy, but it was. So, anyways,
stir it up,
Sandra. I'll just say that. Like, I guess, like, why? So
that's
I write this letter.
Weird. What
I write,
the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. I write this it's letter weird. Not because I wanted it. Was wait, if you, I'll send it to you. Your yeah. jaw will drop.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, ick.
Yeah, it's terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible,
it's
terrible.
It's almost like they told him, like, hey, Brett, we're going to give you this. Make sure to kick the Canadians while they're down. Like, why would you say that at that moment?
And it's a festival that gets Canadian grants. Like, that's the one that
and
gets...
And in Canada. It's in here.
Yeah.
It's in here.
You know why I'm moving to the States? So I can get a grant in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because no, they don't care. I mean, they have.
No, but I think when you get certain grants, there are certain musicians that have to stay live here.
You do.
Yeah, some.
Are you
some,
moving to the States? Is that what you? Is that what you're saying?
Eventually, yeah.
Okay, I guess. Yeah.
But well, because what the fuck?
Do?
Everything that you just said.
I think
said,
so.
Are yeah. you? Are you? You guys are.
We
we're
really,
like a thing.
Oh yeah. But you want to live in the L.A.? We're
yeah.
like a thing.
We,
I like
we
that.
Haven't
I
announced like it. It yet, really, but yeah.
Yeah.
I go to LA. So
I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, what is all this? Like, I'm a couple. Nobody gave a fuck before. Like, you know, no. Everybody wanted was we'll, rushing to get married.
Yeah, we'll fill you in
That's
after.
Nice. Yeah.
But
yeah, after. No, yeah, LA is second home for me. I go there like the quarter of every
we,
year.
And oh, just nice. Just to clarify, like I love Toronto.
I love Toronto. Yeah,
I know, but I you gotta go Toronto. Around. You
I
gotta go. Away.
I don't mean to shit yeah. on Canada at all. It's Toronto has treated me so well. Like I became here. Like I like.
Yeah, me too. I became a comedian in Toronto.
It's
yeah.
such a beautiful city to grow in. But like,
how amazing
it has an interesting invisible ceiling that we're creating, and I feel the shift when I'm in LA. There's no ceilings.
Yeah.
And when I'm here, it's like, it's just a comprehensive, respectable hesitation that is unanimous. And it lives and breathes in the cell yeah. of all of my creative collaborators and the ones who yeah. have gone away. Rob Sun has gone to LA, and that's really where you attain the largest momentum. I mean, there's parts of the wide openness, if you're not plugged in, that can really make you face yourself in a harsh way too. And if you're not ready to make it through that, that can be...
Yeah,
pretty drug and alcohol inducing or like whatever people's destructive habits become when they yeah. have to face those things if they don't deal with those parts of themselves. But yeah, Toronto's a great place, I say, to come and like get a draft together. But then like when you want to commercialize thyself, the brand, you got to go to either New York or LA, or even Florida's becoming more and more
Atlanta's
attractive because
becoming...
of
Texas.
Yeah,
Texas. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's our like... first stop is going to be Texas.
Oh,
Austin,
nice.
Austin.
Nice. But it's like these things, like, yeah, so.
Yeah, back to the store, the
yeah.
original.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. I don't mean that, like, oh,
no,
let's go back to
no,
the.
No,
we
get
to
but it's
whatever.
Like,
no.
So, anyways, I write this letter.
You write
it's
this letter. Okay.
And it goes viral, right?
Oh,
yes.
Cool.
I mean, viral, like, yeah, it did. And then all of a sudden people were like, you know, I started talking politicians and my MP reaches out to me or I sent it to her and politicians are starting to get in touch and they, you know, because that's what MPs do. They take issues. Yeah. They you know, they might either they're doing it for popularity or they actually believe in it.
Either
and
way,
they want to help
done.
You, you know,
either way, it's getting done.
You know, it's like mine was Julie DeBruce and she's the MP for Toronto Danforth and her neighbor, her a thing, whatever you call it, I can't think of it right now, is...
Her campaign message or whatever?
No, her jurisdiction.
Her jurisdiction.
Like her
area.
It's not the ward, but the, whatever.
Oh.
Is
I don't know.
A lot of artists, right?
Oh.
Anyway, so then this one politician was like...
Did you say Danforth area?
Yeah, Toronto Danforth.
Yeah, totally. A lot of good musicians over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she... so anyways, this other politician was conservative... But other people said it too. You need to form an association, right? Because do you think I intended to lobby for comedians?
Yeah,
you,
I know. That's, I, that's
no
a, it's
fucking
very...
way. No fucking way. If I would have fucking known. Like, are you like? But in a way, like I would never take it back. Like, honestly, like I was literally it was a mission.
Yeah,
I had it came through to me.
Oh my god.
And I fucking knocked my ass. Like I did it for 5 years, and then I like was like, I gotta step down, and people were like, no, and I was like, well, I was getting sick.
Yeah.
Like getting sick, you know what I mean? Like
no, it's
I
not
do
worth
know
it.
What you mean.
I couldn't, like, I was the first, like, this association and the work we were doing was like the first people that like confronted Just for Laughs, confronted the Canadian government,
yes.
Like all like everywhere. I'm calling I'm the one on the phone the first time. Like
yes.
I'm talking to like I'm literally arguing with the CBC. Like arguing with about pay,
yes.
with the CBC and
good.
The CEO.
Good.
Like I'm literally showing them like you guys are lying. You are not following the agreement you signed.
Yes.
So explain to me why, or pay the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean? Because people yes. would come to me and be like, "Oh, this is what's happening," and then I take it. I mean, I took it seriously. It was crazy. And again,
so
it was like,
good.
It was also like that was a big ego thing where I'm like,
yeah.
oh, now I'm an activist, you know, like in a way, but
yeah, yeah.
And I felt so like, and
fueled
it was,
though, fueled.
Yeah. And then it was just like, it became part of my persona too.
Mm.
you know? And then, yeah, like we had it, we had a petition to have comedy recognized as an art form. They read it in the house, like they got it, there was a standing ovation. Yes. It was amazing. And like, it's still not recognized as an art form. And I stepped down like in 2020, and I told them like, that's when that 5 years was up and yeah. It was in the middle of the pandemic. Or whatever that event was, event 2.56, coming on your radio dial. Listen up, everybody. Shit's gonna go down.
Make your way back to Coney Island, players.
Take the fast train.
Warriors!
But it's like, from there, like, you know, we started a foundation, the Foundation for Canadian Comedy, and they dispersed money for the first time ever.
Wow.
Like, the grants are not that huge, but it was the first, because that
for
was
comedians?
One of the...
For comedians?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the first thing that I, so music, there were some people, really key people in music, like, I met with everybody. This was my, like, I literally was like, this is what I did every day, almost. I mean, I had to take breaks. And then I would do shows, you know?
Yes.
And I'd still do, of course, I was still being a stand-up, you know, I'm auditioning, I'm doing whatever. So I met with some people who were amazing. One from the Canadian Music Association, this guy named Zach, and they told me the road that music took, because it was basically the same situation. Musicians in Canada were being played and not getting paid, and a group of people organized, and now music is the biggest recipient of grants in this country. It's no coincidence that there's a Drake. There's a Celine Dion, there's a Justin Bieber, there's a Weeknd. These people are all massive recipients
yep.
of the granting system that
still.
People around the world look to and admire. Because there's a thing in the like, granting system in Canada, it's like a needs-based demand-based. So needs-based is like a choir from like some
needs
remote,
help.
Some indigenous choir from some remote island who are obviously amazing. We want to record them. We want to tour them. That's a needs-based art. And in the United States, this is why, when Canadians go down to the States too, there's like how many stars are Canadian?
So
the
many.
The biggest stars.
So
right?
many.
So many.
Because like this expression, like it's encouraged everywhere.
Yeah.
And in the States, pop. It's mostly pop music, you know. So for music-wise, you have all this like variety and, you know, like
that's true. Yeah.
You know, and the same with comedy. Right? So anyways, these guys are telling me this is what you got to do. First year, you got to get just the word out, you know, get the petition. Oh, people are like, what? I didn't. And truly, it was like, what's the issue? Comedy isn't recognized in an art form, and people lost their minds.
Yes.
Like some people would then argue, like other comedians are like, stand-up is not an art form. And I was like,
what?
And even the Canada Council for the Arts were
How
the biggest assholes in the whole.
What?
Oh, yeah. The prejudice from these people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the last time I met with them, I was like, I literally stopped talking. And I did not look at them. Okay? Because the ignorance. The fucking...
Of not...
And literally discrimination.
They don't think it's art?
No.
That?
Who's these people?
The
is
Canada
insane.
Council for the Arts.
Insane.
And these people were like, well, you know, like, okay, of course, comedian stand-ups can apply. But, like, you know, if they're using mixed media or if there's some... I was like, what... Tell me what is not artistic about someone walking up onto a motherfucking stage with a microphone. Maybe a curtain, maybe whatever it is. It's a wall.
Yeah.
And this is not artistic?
Yeah.
You give money to beat poets? Like, yeah, I fucking love beat poetry, slam poetry shit. But that, what's the... Dude, this is a... Like, this is a melody. You are really creating a piece
it's
when
a
you do stand-up.
Art.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay? You're hitting the vibration... In the
yes.
universe, and when you pop it, that's what stand-up comedy. The comedy is like pop, and everyone's like ah, because it's like a short circuit, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when these people kept
that was,
saying
that,
that
was, like,
was
beautiful.
So beautiful. You just explained stand-up. Oh my god, that's amazing.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
So like you talk to all these fucking people, and like, and then I don't know. Did you,
so
sorry
good.
I'm trying to wrap it all up, but
no,
it's like hard
great.
Not to.
Yeah.
Then did you see how Just for Laughs was like? Maybe not. Did you hear about the whole Just for Laughs Sirius XM radio station thing?
No.
So when you record an album, right, you get played on Sirius XM. It's a huge
source of
income for comedians.
Hear
yeah.
about this?
You know, because
the tip out for Sirius XM is way higher than radio.
Yeah,
like,
and
for your dividends.
Yeah,
whatever.
And it's amazing. You know, like.
Publishing. Or the reach, because it's satellite,
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
And it changed the game for comedians. Yeah. And then in 2007, I don't even know, 2018, whatever, they announced that they're going to take over the Comedy Channel. It was called Canada Laughs. And that Just for Laughs was going to take over, and comedians lost it. I remember, I didn't even know what was going on, and people start messaging me. It was a story, like they covered it in the UK. Yeah. Like it was everywhere around the world they found out about this.
Yeah.
Like comedians, oh my God, like
They just did it, Sirius FM just did that with musicians as well, but just last year.
It's
the same thing. They I don't know how, like, what the ins and outs of it are, but like if you were an independent artist being played, it could give you like an actual decent amount of income if you were played 14 times or something a week. I can't remember what it was, like your song, like that could equal up to upwards of 5K a month.
Yeah.
And something has now changed where
they're taking it over.
Yeah, someone's taking it over, and that money will no longer be given to
musicians.
Can't
let the artists get too much money. They might share it amongst the people too much.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That could change the structure of how the centralized power currently is.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
Thanks for fixing that system,
bitch.
Yeah. But that's insane too.
So then they gave it back. Like they were like, no, we're not going to play, because they were going to start playing the content from their festivals in the past. So American, this is a Canadian channel.
Yeah.
And people literally lost their shit. And, you know, that's of course good. They had to save face. They announced like, no, it's going to stay. It's just going to be branded Just for Laughs. However, they're kind of doing what they said they wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And people, like there was an article in the Globe and Mail. And again, like I just said, like the way that they showcased, they go do these showcases across the country and how they communicate to comics.
It's all the benefit.
It's patronizing.
It's to benefit their own marketing. Like I noticed the same thing in the cannabis industry as well. Like the ones throwing the event are getting the most ROI, not any of the brands that are paying to be there, not any of the comedians that are putting in their time to actually be a part of the culture, be the performance, be the thing people come to see. It's the pimp. The classic pimp story, like it exists.
You're the pimp,
like,
you're
that's
right.
What it is. And like we are the artists, so we are the product, so we are the ones. It's like you almost have to prove to yourself that you're good enough to hoe out for daddy, to be a part of the big system, and then you gotta take that and either run with those eyes or take that confidence that you know that you can compete at a mainstream level and just do your own thing. Like, I think that's the route, but like trying to chip away.
What does that mean to prove to daddy? You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean?
I mean, like, to get on TV, to get invited to Just for Laughs, to win a Grammy, to do this shit that, like, we put in our head that means success. It's like, it's just about proving yourself. But it's like basically trying to knock on the door of the system and ask them to rectify something. It's like, you know, ask the indigenous people how that's going. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, fuck, you're going to make some progress, but they're going to get the ball
back.
They're going to get the ball back, like, eventually, the money.
For now. But
you've made great, haven't you, like, made great progress at least with, like, letting people know the situation? Like, that's the power.
Of course.
The situation.
And, you know, people now, comedians, like, you know, it's pretty much like most shows, people get paid. Like, you can't really do a show at any of these venues and not pay comedians. Like, someone's going to talk about it. Like, you gotta do that. That wasn't happening before.
Yep.
And, you know, during the lockdowns, like, we did a GoFundMe. We raised, like, 30 grand. We gave all these, like, mini, you know, $500 to people. All they had to do was just literally put their name in and say, like, you know, obviously I'm a comedian. Like, these are the show, whatever.
Yeah.
And we gave them out. It was a lottery, and
so
nice. And most everybody who applied got it. So it was like this kind of stuff had never been done before.
Yes, we're thinking on this level.
Pioneer.
As a
yes. So yeah.
Pioneer.
That's so beautiful. Yo, nice work. Come
Thank
on.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh my God. You're welcome.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Very, very crazy time.
Yeah.
I mean, now in a way, like it's kind of like, you know, obviously the last 3 years were crazy. It's like finally you start, gigs are kind of coming back, and I'm feeling like I'm in this place of like, okay, no, I know I gotta like really go away. Like, I don't mean leave permanently, but like really, I have like some spiritual block when it comes to travel. And then I get really pissed too, like these fucking rules.
Yeah.
They really bother, like I'm just like, oh man.
I know.
We're on the same side of the fence in that conversation.
But I wanna do like, I mean, I write, like I'm really, you know, I create like, you know, I love to create like TV concepts and write screenplays.
Yeah, so, like you're a
just
writer.
Like pushing, like just really trying to sell that, you know. But also like I want right now, I'm just really itching to do something like, I don't mean activist, but like just, you know, clean up the earth. Like that's what I think about all the time. Is like I really so think nice. About it all the time.
That's so beautiful. Yo, what a great heart. Congratulations.
You're like, it's right, what though. I really want to do is just clean up the planet.
I do. I one day organized this cleanup during the lockdowns, and then everybody canceled except me and my friend Melissa, and then we literally cleaned up the garbage on Carla from like Eastern to the Lake Shore, and it stayed clean for 2 weeks. And like I bought these like white, these, you know, those suits that
yes.
you wear,
yes.
and like gloves and
did
shit.
You buy the thing that picks up garbage?
No, it's too expensive. No, we just
I know those are hands. Expensive,
and you got to pick up shit with your hands. Like we had gloves,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like I and then I was like, what am I like? There's something about the way that we think now where I was like, oh yeah, you got to market it, you got to get it. Like I was like what. It's more like you're like, you, okay, you want people to be like, okay, everybody, let's pick up the fucking garbage.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, this place is disgusting.
Yeah, I know. Fix that.
You would not do, would you do that in your house, throw a fucking cigarette on the fucking ground?
No.
Or like your Tim Hortons cup, you're like, oh, I'm done with this. And I mean, you, some people live this way,
you,
sure.
You're speaking to Woody's soul right now so hard.
Yeah, just, it doesn't take that. It's just that the more that other people see other people doing shitty things, the more it validates their own shitty things.
Yeah.
Like, as long as you always have someone who you're less shitty than, that's sort of the bar.
Winnie will do one of these.
And I'm not saying
if
everybody.
If someone throws a thing, she'll be like, that's okay, I got it.
Oh, yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. Like people yeah. People drop little bags and little candy wrappers. I see them. They eat their fucking chocolate bar and then they just drop it on the ground. And I'm walking behind them and I see their fingers open up like it's on purpose. It's very conscious. You know what I mean? It's not a mistake. And I'm like, I'll get this. Like, I got you. Well, in Toronto has a lot of garbage cans. Vancouver does not. Toronto has a lot of garbage cans. Like you can wait.
Yeah.
If you're walking along the street, there will be a garbage can within like minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. Yes.
And like even just all like that's what I noticed one day. I was like, I came up with this concept for a TV show because I was maybe I was high. I don't remember, but maybe that tells you if I was or something. But I saw this like Tim Hortons cup on the road, and I was like, look at this, like look at what is it? Was just so something about like I don't know this garbage on the earth.
Uh huh.
Doesn't make any
sense.
I've
seen this. I've felt this too. I've seen a random Tim Hortons cup with red,
it has a
red
story.
Booty and the white lid just kind of floundering on the middle of a cement walkway.
It's the most littered
like,
thing.
What the fuck? Like, how did this happen? Like, someone has to be responsible for this drink cup. Like, whose baby is this?
I know exactly when it happened.
What happened.
You guys are not as old as I am, I don't think. But do you remember when Tim Hortons, you just went and sat and got a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
Because it had mugs.
Oh, the mugs. I do okay? remember
it was
that.
It was a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You go.
Yes. Remember how
you don't take the fucking coffee away.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
You sit. You have the fucking coffee. Right? But then the Americans bought it. And it was at that same time, I guess, some, who knows. I mean, I imagine we could find out. But these
Starbucks
people are like,
used to
how
have
can
cups
we...
too.
What's that?
Starbucks used to have full mugs too.
You
that's how they started.
Yeah.
Is that how they started? I'm sure.
Yeah.
All these big American businesses like started off to like Walmart, right? Was just like a family store until, you know, they swallowed a demon and then, you know what I mean?
That happens.
They're like, we have to open 400 quadrillion Walmarts around the fucking world.
The cul-de-sac of every complex. Like, they get the corner, like, of every, like, shopping
yeah,
center
it's,
mart.
It's fucked
it's
up.
It's crazy. You'll see, like, the same image Walmart, like, everywhere you go. It's kind of crazy.
So like, Tim Hortons.
On tour, though, it's good to have a Starbucks. I'll give you that. The only consistent thing. If you're thugging it out on tour,
too.
Fucking.
I say that,
Wi-Fi,
too.
Wi-Fi, free water. It's, like, a nice experience, nice wood. I drove a scooter across 4 states to do busking, freestyle rap, and Starbucks was my haven. And
would
like,
you, wherever you stay, was there like a burner you could make coffee or boil water?
It would vary.
You could probably boil water everywhere you were. So how about this?
No, it was actually, it was not what I needed in the morning. It was more a place to stop in
the day or the evening, actually. Like, you're on the road. Actually,
yeah, it was the brick and mortar retail space that was like
Let me charge my phone, you know?
Yeah, like, I guess there's something about people feeling safe that they're in this space, but like...
And around others a little bit.
It's not true. It's an illusion.
Yeah, it's an illusion.
Yeah, but it's, it does make us feel that
like,
way.
Oh, like, I can get that feta cheese egg wrap.
How lucky in the am world?
I? Yeah, like...
Exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Like, that's why there's fucking cultures. Like, go there and eat their food and shut up. Exactly. You know?
That's true.
But that's what these American fucking, like, these executives were like, okay, you know, they're all brainstorming, like, how can we make more sales? I know, take the coffee out of the coffee shop and walk around like an asshole with this coffee. Like
a milkshake.
When my cousins came here from Italy, they were just, they couldn't believe these people walking around with the coffee.
Because you sit down and have a coffee.
Do you know what I mean?
Everyone needs a coffee.
Not necessarily sit down, but you just go to the fucking, whether it's at a gas station or in the middle of the fucking city, you're going to get the same fucking, you're going to get the best pastries and the best coffee. Yeah. And you go,
I think people.
And then you get the fuck out.
I love this.
I think people feel better about their lives when they have a coffee in their hands.
It feels productive. You know, I'm holding something.
I got to not drink it for, like, I got to take it. I drink it almost every day, but like.
Coffee?
I have to like this.
We cappuccinos. I did two today. Cappuccines.
That's delicious.
Cappuccino.
This has been so wonderful, and you are so wonderful. Thank you
so
much.
You're so cool. Oh,
thank you.
Thank you for blessing us.
Where should we find you?
I'm seated right beside you.
She's right here, man.
Perfect. That's all you need to know.
She's sitting here.
Like, I like that. When somebody's like, where can we find you? Why? Did I get lost?
Did I leave?
Can I find you? No. Where am I going to follow you? Where can we follow you? On all the major platforms, on Radio FM, CTV. No, I ain't even CTV. Just like, I'm on Instagram, TikTok. Yep. I'm trying to get into this shit. Yeah, I was posting shit.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah, I don't, like, I'm trying to get stuff off of YouTube, too. But, like, Instagram has most of my, like, clips from my, like, you know, I just, these reels that we're putting up now.
That's that's what we're doing now.
What are we doing now? We're fucking editor. Like, I really am a union boss, you know? Because the minute I see another piece of work, I'm like, what? What's this? Like, that's why, I mean, I announced that I wasn't going to do self-tapes. I'm like, what? I gotta do this and I'm not getting paid? And I'm like, am I insane? No, I'm not insane because why are we running around like
a self-tape is a minimum, I would say, like 6 hours work. A minimum, and that's on the low end because you have to memorize lines and shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And then you 6 hours?
Yeah.
She gets like
not from
five
start
pages.
To finish, oh, but yeah, like
I'm sure she's a fucking
she's has
a
to,
teen queen.
Well, not start to finish, but like if you get an audition on a Monday and it's due on Thursday, you're memorizing your shit for the following 2 days. Then you have to like get ready, set up your fucking
I do none of that
shit.
You just get it and buzz it.
Okay, then you gotta continue doing these self tapes.
You know what I do? Like I when I do self tapes, like when the scripts are longer, you know, the studio I go to, I know the guys, so like I'll get to know the lines, but then we just work it out. I can memorize pretty quick.
Can you? Nice.
But you know what? Your way that you do it is good too, because you're creating a character. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I am creating a character too. I just don't spend.
You just don't.
Like, I would spend more time when I went into the room, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is like, we get to try it and it's fun. And I do like doing.
Me too.
I like the act of doing the self-tape. It's like, it's fun. Mm-hmm. But I don't like the fucking act, ladies and gentlemen, of having to pay for it now. ACTRA, if you're listening, # what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are they doing?
What are you doing, ACTRA?
This isn't going to feel helpful to you at all, but they do have a free self-tape studio at the ACTRA headquarters.
Oh, yeah, right.
You can go there for
But you still need a reader.
You still need a reader.
Do you have to hire the reader?
I think they might actually
give me a call.
They might provide a reader.
Oh.
Yeah, I think there might be an option to provide a
reader. ACTRA, you need
to, I've never used that.
That was really good swoop in there, though. Good piece of information.
Yeah. Where do you do your self-tapes? In this studio?
I do. Yeah. This. At home. No, I have a setup at home. And then when I coach, I coach with Lewis Bomander.
Oh.
LB. Yeah, I love him.
So you coach, like auditions?
Like I get coached, sorry.
Oh, I see. Coached. I thought you were coaching people.
No. Not quite there yet.
Look at this one. I'm at that point where I'm just like, yo, I gotta buy a coach. I mean, look, I've spent a lot of money.
Yeah, you've
studying
had a lot of
people.
Training.
Yeah.
Put in a lot of time.
Training is important, I think.
I trained a lot.
I don't know if you need the structure around you. I think, like, if you're going to permeate the audition opportunity, they're probably going to want you for, like, exactly what you are.
Because when I realized with auditions, it's like going on stage. Then I was like, now I'm going to have fun. I'm just going to go perform. That's what I do. Yeah. I'm like, if I can pop.
I'm similar that way. Just do you. Just, like, feel right? it. Yeah.
I'm much more structured.
Yeah, I know. I could see. Yeah, I
can't.
But hopefully
stand up though helps me get more loose.
Yeah.
No. Let me be loose.
Well, it can get you more. See, on one hand, it gets you loose, and then it gets you tight in other ways. Yeah. Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean, though. I actually do.
Oh my god!
Because you gotta be.
What am I doing? I'm just. You're just gonna tell some stories. This is what I think, whatever you want to call the 3 years prior were.
Yeah.
Like, it was this shift. It was part of the shift. Like, it manifested in whatever way it did because of, like, people trying to, whatever, do what they had to do.
Best marketing campaign I've ever seen on Earth,
incredible.
Though. Like, absolute respect. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Get your dough, boy.
Yeah.
Dough, boy.
But I think, like, it was like, before we were all just that one thing. I'm the comedian, I'm gonna do 5 million sets a week, you know? And then it's like, you come out of it and you're like, that's it? We're supposed to be engaging with the earth. We're supposed to be stewarding the earth, planting, cleaning it, just being with it, grazing our own food. Like, we're not supposed to, like, you know what I mean? Like, this drive to do what, really?
No,
you know, exactly. To be fame, like, for who?
I know.
Yes. So who the fuck?
It's a great question.
And they're all like, and that doesn't mean anything because you go to China, nobody knows who the fuck you are.
That's... Yeah.
Okay? They literally have their own fucking people and they don't give a fuck about anybody else. Good. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they know like maybe some of the bigger names, but this idea of fame is like, that's the part. And this is what I try and separate if I can.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can't always. Because then I'm like, what's the drive? Okay, I know. Posting on Instagram, like, yeah, I want to post good content that, like, I make sense to me that I can follow because I like to write. But I haven't quite figured it out yet.
You know what's fun about that, the content motivation, and this is how I look at it, is just, like, give people the gift that you're, like, really equipped to give them. And that's, like, a chuckle. Or, like, a good banger inspiration or the reminder that you are who you are will make someone... Right bit. So it's kind of like this kind of like connective tissue now. That's what I look at content as. It's like, hey, like we made a funny little piece of content today. It's like you brighten someone's day. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It is art. And then, but when we get into measuring it, it's like, oh, this one is, oh, it did 5K and this one did 500. Oh, I guess I'm going downhill. Like, fuck all that. Like, the measurement.
I know,
sure.
But
yeah.
that's.
I know, it's hard to get out of the ego thing.
But see, like, at one point we did this study with this organization called Ontario Creates. And it was an economic impact study of comedy. And the Department of Finance had said this is the biggest thing. Like, in order to get funding, you need to prove that your industry is viable. And it makes sense. All industry has had these economic impact analysis, right?
Right.
And the more you have, obviously, the more argument you make. Yeah, you know, why is... And they told us themselves... I mean, I've heard them from politicians' mouths. Like, why does the government give money to the car industry, to the mining industry? They're the most funded... The richest things in the country are the ones that are most backed.
Because they're friends.
They're friends. They make an argument.
That's
exactly,
it.
Right?
If I knew the guy, I'd want favors too. It's like, I can't wrong him, but it's not right. It's not set up right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's like, you got to do. So we do this, and it's good because it was a document that helped. Like, now, really, it's starting to change. Like, that the foundation was giving out money, and there was a bunch of money given out. I can say, like, I don't have to get into this. This big thing that they just did, and it was apparently a precursor to money, like, for the Department of Heritage giving money directly to comedians.
Beautiful.
Which is the Department of Heritage is the one who gives the money to the Canada Council for the Arts, who gives it to
okay,
like it's the guy that gives it to all these like organizations, like the Music Foundation, like the Factor Grant, you know.
Oh, okay.
But the fact, but it's most of these
I'm
music
on my fourth
grants.
Denial.
Oh, really? But all those grants are like part government and then industry, like private money.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So that's like that's what you're trying to do. But anyways, this person in this fucking economic impact, I was interviewed. Right. People filled out. Like you could have filled out.
Right.
You could have participated. You know. But and she's like, do you think that social media is going to change the game for Canadian comedians? And I was like, or like something like you think is going to be good? And I'm like, no, because it's an algorithm, right? And it's not. Like, what we're talking about here is for the art to be recognized, to be acknowledged, you know?
Like
it's a rights
act.
Movement, right? It's a rights movement. Like, any rights movement, people were asking for legitimacy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I know it may sound crazy, but, like, while I was doing this work, because it was very difficult at times, right? Mm. Like, I always have been very inspired by the civil rights movement, but this is an acknowledgement that you're told, like, you're not as good as these other people.
Yeah, it's
right?
fucked up.
Like, that's how they talk to the Canadians and then the comedians. And then you realize every time we're with comedians or we're playing the same thing, we're the ones that always pop.
Yeah.
We're like, what? So what are you, it's like Canadian entertainment is lazy.
Mm. 100%.
Okay? All it's doing is giving money. It's like they're just funding star power. They're not fucking... Like, it's
and
the biggest motherfucking
thing. There's seasonal virtue signaling within the funding, too. Like, I love to see it. And lots of my people, like, rise and made a lot of progress. But you'll see the political wave happen. And then they'll be like, oh, absolutely. Well, we're having specific. And I want all those things to happen. I want all this, you know, this new progress or whatever. And that's beautiful. But, like, yeah, you see their cues being taken from, like, centralized power nuts and like virtue signaling, like in like where the direction of some of the money from
oh
the grants
sure
go,
right you know? They have because they have to be responsible
and
you know?
But then they can advertise that, so I'm basically saying like the whole thing is like it is a business kind of in itself.
It's like the people who make those reels on Instagram giving money to like homeless people.
Yeah,
but the homeless person has to first give them like $3.25 or something for a bus ride.
Yeah.
And the home always, I mean, I don't know what happens when the homeless person's like, no, fuck off. But in the ones that I've seen, the unhoused person is like, yeah, here's $3.25. And then the guy's like, no, you keep that. And here's $500.
And then they cry and he makes a video out of it. Goes
it's
viral,
so fucking cringy.
Grand from
and what do you mean he gets him to go on a bus?
No, the guy goes up to like the unhoused or the less fortunate.
They're beautiful like stories in terms of like they inspire you to give kind of, but
but it's only if the person, it's like to show that the person is still willing to give even when he has nothing. Mm. But I don't like having to make sure a person is good who is unhoused or on the street before you gift, right? Like So the video itself is like, hey, I'm this guy who's gonna give.
They're casting homeless people.
Well, they're giving money to homeless people, but they're essentially lying to them, being like, hey man, do you have $3.25? Like, I just need to grab on the bus, like I lost my wallet or something. And the homeless person is like, oh man, yeah, like this is all my money. And then the guy is like, thank you so much for being a kind person. Here's $500 type thing.
I'll show you one of the clips.
Yeah, we'll send you one. But it is kind of like that, isn't it? Like be good. The grant system, like, yes. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Show me you're good, and then we'll give
and
you
like
something
the algorithm,
after that.
And like,
we should do an episode on that. We should figure that out. We should have fucking...
The grant system?
We should dive into grants. Like, yeah, what the fuck should. Is going on? Yeah, like,
on August 8th, the CASC, the association that I started,
mm-hmm.
they're doing a thing with Canada Council for the Arts for comedians, like how they can apply.
Cool.
What they can do. I mean, I hope
That's
it's still
news.
Not... It's big deal.
That's
really
amazing.
I'm honestly not involved, like, really. Like, there was one issue that I'm still pretty, like, want to see happen, but it's, like, it's, I think things are happening with it, but it's about getting, like, a visa for Canadian comedians in the U.S. instead of having to apply for this O1
or
the P1, yeah, or lie, is to have just our own classification.
Oh,
and then you don't need the sponsor. And the sponsor would be like the equivalent organization in the U.S. So I started talking to some people about it. It doesn't seem to be too complicated. It costs money. You just got to set up because there's no American Association for Comedians, but then that's because it's like the Canadian Federation of Musicians uses the American Federation of Musicians when they got to travel.
Oh,
and so that's such nice.
But there is no current Canadian equivalent for comedians.
There's a Canadian. In the States? Yeah, there's not.
Okay. But that would
we
be
were already
the
talking
way.
To people. We were already talking to people about it. Like, yeah. I spoke to people that's around the world. Like, we informally started an international organization. Like, we were speaking to some comics. We're like, we don't need this exactly. And it's called the United Nations of. The United Nations of Comedy.
You know,
Uno.
You get it? That is so cool. What is it?
Uno.
Uno!
Uno?
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 No. No. Uno?
Uno?
Something. Oh my God, did I lose it?
You know what?
United Nations of Comedy?
Yeah.
You know what it has to be? An acronym that spells out HAHA. HAHA.
But that's the Just for Laughs thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
HAHA, yeah.
So don't do that.
Wow. This is so cool.
This is so cool
Thank
and great.
Thank you for being you and doing that. I'm blazing and chilling with us. You got to come back and do an update.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. You're so funny.
That was fun.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks.
I love this so much.
Oh my God, you're so kind.
I appreciate you. You
Both
are.
Of you.
Yeah. We'll put links below to where people can follow you
and we're
social media.
Doing great things.
And you guys air once a week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. This will not be out before August 8th, but I'll still promote that on my own personal channels. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I shared it, but anyways, no, I'm so happy to see that. I didn't even honestly know it was like I said, I'm not on the executive, but
no, that's good.
My good friends are.
I grant writing is very, very difficult. We need some guidance.
Yeah,
for
we're
sure.
This inspired like that. It's like we're going to
out. We'll figure it out.
We'll talk to Grant directly.
Maybe. But even this too. You know this fucking honest to God, everything's a fucking application.
I know.
It's an application.
Even like is it application to do anything? You got to go online, you're like fill out this fucking thing. Why your release form, I was on my phone and I didn't remember my fucking password and I was like, fuck Google, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what do you and you got to authenticate this authentication system is really fucked up.
And get your data.
It's too much.
Fuck you. You know exactly where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Like you're making me enter some fucking rhythm. I don't know what the fuck you're making me do, but I can't stand it. Okay? Fuck you.
I agree.
Like Enbridge today, I want to send these motherfuckers a message. Like they're like, my bill is way overdue. And they're like, go on to enbridge.ca/cozy and they'll help you with do a payment arrangement. Well, they only give you two fucking options. One is to pay all of it, and the other one is to pay in two installments. And I wrote Cozy. I'm like, hey, Cozy, I can't make the first installment, you fucker.
Yeah.
Like, I used to talk to people. Like, what happened?
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking call.
You got to apply for an application.
Honestly, it's only going to the deep end. I agree.
I also agree with that. I think that there's too much that's online. Like everything. Every single thing. Everything is online. And I get how eventually over the like who
why knows? Why am I ordering something off of a fucking menu that like at the Comedy Bar people were like I've seen this before where they're like this. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, we're ordering drinks, and I'm like, the guy's right out there.
Yeah, just tell him.
Mean?
Hey,
it's
Earl.
Right there.
Yeah.
He's right over there. And you got a fucking go on the
that's
fucking.
That's gonna be though. That like those jobs probably like for kids who are like four right
doing.
Now. Like, can you imagine what happens in the 20 years? Like, it's gonna be different.
There's not
story.
Gonna be any more people doing those jobs. Yeah. It won't be humans.
Yeah, it's gonna be things
that's
are changing, and things are changing rapidly.
Yeah,
that's one of them. Anyways, good times.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
I
had to take those earphones off. Like it was literally making me feel like I was in a very long voiceover recording, and I was like, I can't hear.
That's exactly what this is.
Yeah, and like, or being on stage for a long time. Like, I was like, I'm only hearing. Oh, it's very weird. It was actually fucking me. It's fucking me up. I was like,
well, this works still. So
what do you do? Like, you guys have a closing speech?
No, actually,
we have
no.
Nothing. We just want to say goodbye.
Overperformed. Bye. Love you guys.
Bye.
Make sure to subscribe. go find Sandra on Instagram and have a laugh. And
TikTok is where it's at, they say, obviously.
Yeah. I know. You're TikTok-ing? I'm having a hard time with TikTok.
Yeah.
Are you TikTok-ing?
Yeah.
What are you TikTok-ing about on TikTok?
You know, clips and shit. Yeah. Saying a couple of addresses to the camera. I was into it until my dad went into this home. Yeah. And then I just fucking lost. Like, I'm there quite a bit. But it's okay. It's like I'm in another zone of creation. But I do want to get back to. But even this, like, you see what I mean?
Yeah. But like, look, this will be content.
Yeah, we're gonna make clips for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put up that fucking. But that's what I said to the woman too. Remember what I was saying about before we just start? Like, I know I want to just say this, but I said to her, I'm like, it's not sustainable. Yeah. Like when she said, is social media, I'm like, no, none of that is sustainable because it's still not like, it's not about the art.
Art's just sprinkling on that.
Because art is like, musicians talk about this as well. Maggie Rogers put out a crazy album a couple years ago and people were like, when's your next album? And she's like, I just dropped my last one. Like this stuff doesn't just come to me and then I'm going to pump it out for you. Like,
what,
this,
Maggie, you
this
don't got two,
me...
in the, two in the pocket?
You don't get a full chamber.
But it was a cool, I really liked it actually because I was like, yeah, we now as consumers expect just, we want it, give it to me,
that's
give it
disgusting,
to me.
Isn't it?
And that's not really art sometimes.
Like, do you think 2 million years ago, the artists, they were having this conversation, when's your next album coming out? I was like, yo, I told you I'm going to be over there under those trees.
They all practiced for like a big play, right? And then the play finishes and everyone's like, when is the next one?
Yeah. Well, they probably are, but then they know the fucking... They
it's
know
good
the
that they're fans.
Vibration.
They want it.
I'll take a little bit of that shit.
Oh, nice. Because it's almost like you're drinking alcohol, but you're not.
I know. That's why I like it. It's like my champagne.
Do you like alcohol?
Yeah, but I just did a... I started with a 40-day cleanse.
Wow.
And then I was like, why don't I do 90 days? And then I got to 75 days, and I went to my friend's lake house, and we were doing a writing thing. And I haven't been away in forever, and there's all this wine.
It was time.
So I drank... I mean, I didn't get drunk, but like it really like... I don't want to say I regret it, but I saw like
after
what
75
it did.
Days of not, I imagine that had some type
you
of effect.
Right.
Yeah,
the
and
next
I couldn't
day.
Sleep, and I was like, I mean, I'm like, and I had a sip of alcohol since, but yeah, I don't know. I really love wine. Yes. That's what I love.
Red wine.
I used to love like scotch. Like those things are cool, but like when I've had it, like, I can't have the hard liquor. Like my liver can't handle it. I'm very like.
You feel it?
I used to like those things, scotch, but yeah, it's heavy.
Bourbons, but like sometimes they are okay.
Yeah.
Right? Like you who knows where you are, but like I feel like when you're away from all this madness, it's easier to drink, but not in here.
Mm-mm.
You know, like I've had this like almost ever since I started being a performer, is when I became aware of my liver because this chiropractor pointed it out, and I'd have this like pain here all the time, very low grade and not always. But when she told us, and I was like, oh. And then when I would drink with the cast of Tony and Tina's, I'd be like, oh.
Yep.
And that was like kind of like, that was one of the ways. I mean, there was a few ways into the spiritual world, but yeah.
Cool.
I know
through
we're
the physical
body.
Very self-aware. That's such a gift. That's so good. Yeah, I drink a lot with Tony and Tina's too. Because you drink.
How can you not? Come
you
on.
Go after for drinks.
So fun.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Fuck, fun. Okay, blessings. Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I can't believe they've had these things in their ears this whole time.
I know. What's that gonna
like
do?
Now they're gonna, like, if I'm murdered, eventually. If they find me dead, it's because they went nuts.
Discipline stoners. What's your discipline? You a stoner? That's cool. So are we.
I'm high a lot. It's weird to finally say that with pride. I'm high a lot. Being high has helped me with my anxiety. It's helped my social skills. Well, it's helped me feel okay about my shitty social skills. It doesn't make my social skills better. But it sure does make sitting in that awkward moment in a social interaction a lot more bearable. You know, that moment where no one in the group has anything left to say, and you desperately want to yell at all of them, just say something. Being high makes that hilarious and not torture.
Yo, it's a living from Anger Town. These plants just help me chill out. Found focus, found confidence. All of a sudden I was productive. Less protective, more progressive. Yeah, we talk about stuff like I'm a next sommelier. But this is about a medicine, baby. We wish everyone a mindful life. It's been a helpful tool for us. Whatever the route to peace, it's each individual's journey. And the more we communicate, maybe we can all help each other out. Love and light. Welcome to Discipline Stoners Podcast with your host, 11.
And my name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And that's Ralph.
Bro, what you know about a couple levels up when I move and I go.
One day we're going to do a collage of all the times like a brilliant person just said like it's medicine.
Cannabis is a gift from Mother Earth.
Cannabis helped to heal me. Those natural medicines that we use to help to heal us. And of course they have this euphoric effect or can.
It's an alternate natural way of healing. And I just think it's so beneficial and there's so many good properties to weed.
I mean, that's the only difference in my life is I've added cannabis. The amount I've changed and the way our family has evolved and our relationships with my adult sons and everything, like just all through cannabis. It's been amazing.
It's part of my life. Like you said, you really can't separate me and the cannabis plant. I use it medically.
Yes.
I have fibromyalgia, diagnosed with fibro very, very young. And I use cannabis to treat my fibro very effectively.
It was through an event that caused her major anxiety that I got her to take a few puffs.
Yeah.
And it helped.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, from being up here to being able to cope.
You know, we've got naturopathic medicine and natural health products that rely on hundreds of years of traditional use.
Yes.
Which, you know, both cannabis and mushrooms technically fall under.
Yes.
If you can keep it at that sweet spot and it's in a healthy way, I feel like that's
it's medicine.
Yeah, I think it's medicine. You have to like check in with your life and be like, medicinal. I felt like it complemented my personality.
Yeah.
Almost.
Good answer.
It's okay to use cannabis as their medicine. Mm-hmm. They no longer deserve to be in classrooms and hear that they're using drugs and they're bad. When this is medicine that is saving their lives.
Yes.
I mean, I would never put anything on the market that I wouldn't give to my mom or my grandfather.
Those strains are fantastic for pain management, nausea. This helps, like, with pain management.
And I feel fantastic. Like I feel great. Do so I attribute good. It to cannabis and cannabis oil? Absolutely, I do.
Relationship to cannabis right now is beautiful, growing, most probably everlasting.
I think this is medicine.
Dude. 120%.
I've got ADD, and I'd use cannabis to help kind of focus me in and kind of turn things off. Like, it very much is medicine.
It was medicinal for me. It was like taking a medicine because that's how it worked.
How long? How long?
Everybody together. Here we go.